Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, my name is Vince. Welcome to the week three of the All In series. Hope you've enjoyed things so far. It's been a fun ride, and hoping to bring some things together as we head into like one of these final weeks on serving. And I'm going to kind of hang things on the scripture that the greatest of all is the servant of all from Matthew 23 and 11. Now, part of this journey, I wanted to take you through. Jesus was a storyteller, so I'm going to take you through some of my summer adventures. And the overarching thing is that we took this trip across Canada with my family. We jumped in a car, across Canada, and so I get to bore you with some pictures, tell some stories along the way about some things. I just want to reflect on different parts of the trip and reflect on, you know, different pieces of the things that I thought were interesting or impactful to tie a narrative, a story together that hopefully you find a little bit interesting. You see, when I reflect on something, it isn't the whole thing. It's bits and pieces, enough of it to carry on the idea so you know what I'm talking about. It's like that reflection in the pond where it may not be exact, but it's like, I know where he's going there, an imitation of the real thing. And so as we crossed Canada, we drove one way, took a month to cross, hit all the provinces, hit all 10 over the course of a month, and a fantastic journey of, but it was very weird how different aspects of Canada and different regions or people from the varying regions are, you know, as little different than just BC. As we crossed through, stop one, we're coming through because we went from BC all the way to Newfoundland. I went to Bonavista, just like the song says, this land is our land, from Vancouver Island to Bonavista, and I made it all the way there. But as we were going through in Alberta, out came like interesting big belt buckles and a little more rednecky, and the truck that, you know, is like a little more, you know, jacked up, and this sort of thing where pretty sure I heard someone playing Achy Breaky Heart on the radio, and it was just like a little different cultural piece. And so, you know, a little square dancing or line dancing or whatever they do over there, a little more Alberta-y. You know, so it's like I can't necessarily do an Alberta imitation, but I can, maybe reflect or put an idea in your head about some of the people. Fingers in belts, you know, Achy Breaky Heart, little line dancing, click your heels to the back, date your sister, all this sort of Alberta-related thing. Moving our way through into the provinces, love the prairies, and carrying on through, I found a huge cultural shock in Quebec, and I can't do a Quebec imitation, but I could tell you that I'm pretty sure as I was going along the road, I saw a Quebecois, a French boy who had like a beret on, and he was riding his bike, and he had like a baguette underneath his arm with a little cup of wine. And I thought it was very peculiar as he biked down the street. It was this imagery of more French and those culture related things. You know how like in BC when you see kids in a playground, they play like duck, duck, goose, where they make a circle and, you know, you tap the kid on the head, duck, 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 goose, and you kind of, you know, run around counterclockwise and try and land in the same spot. I saw kids doing this in Quebec, except they play a game called Wee Wee Baguette, where you go wee, 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 and then you pull out a baguette, a big French loaf of bread, and you smack the kid across the head. People were laughing, talking about existentialism. The children seemed to be enjoying themselves. All the way through to what fantastic cultural difference. And I can't do a fantastic imitation, but I can paint that picture for you to let you know a bit, to reflect a bit about what it was like. We're going through the Maritimes, and you know, up and through Cape Breton, and even made our way up, into Newfoundland. And I'm eating lobster. I'm driving along the side of a mountain. I'm listening to Great Big Sea, the eyes the boy who builds the boat. And I'm like, is this even English? It was this fascinating. So I can't. I'm not from there, but I can at least kind of paint that picture, a reflection, an imitation of what some of those differing things were like, which brings us to Italian, all the way to St. John, Newfoundland. You see, imitation captures a glimpse of the original. It's not the original. It's an imitation. It's a reflection. It's a piece of the original, just like my looking in that pond. It's not the full real deal, but it paints enough of a picture. Now, you're like, Italians in Newfoundland. Like, yeah, sure enough. So I don't know actually many Italian people in like regular life. My friends, the Gonzatos or the Bertolinis. But not like hardcore Italian. So when I think of Italian, my only Italian reference is Mario from Nintendo. And so it's a me, Mario. That's when I think of Italian. It takes us all the way to Newfoundland and the story of Guillermo Marconi. So now we're in St. John's, Newfoundland, and we're enjoying ourselves. And this is a picture of my family here. We're in St. John's, Newfoundland. We're doing our thing. And all the way up through to this area called Signal Hill. So as it turned out, Marconi was working on this transatlantic way to get communication from, partway around the world. You see, that kind of communication often was, along wires, but they were developing this method to wireless communication. And so this is like, early, 1900, late, the 1890s, 1900 kind of stuff, about a way to communicate over these broader distances. Now, they'd been able to communicate to nearby towns wirelessly, and the application was trying to communicate through to ships out on the water, but could they make a transmission go across the Atlantic? And so they were there in, Poldhu, Cornwall in England, and they were trying to transmit across the Atlantic, and they landed themselves in St. John's, Newfoundland, to receive the message. So the transmitter was set up at one spot, and they were trying, how can we get this signal? And Marconi's idea, we're going to fly up this aerial, we're going to put the connect an aerial to a kite, we're going to send the kite up super high, we're going to send transmission across the Atlantic. But the challenge is, because they'd only primarily been dealing with things that were line of sight. And so a transmission from, England to Ireland, something that was still, visible. But once you start creeping across the Atlantic, that's 3,400 kilometers. And so the curvature of the Earth becomes a factor because line of sight disappears, unless, of course, you're a flat earther. The way that they went about it was he proposed that perhaps we could skip the signal, bounce it, reflect it off of the ionosphere. The signal itself would just be a partial, a piece, while the rest of it went off into oblivion. Could they skip? Could they imitate enough? Could they bounce enough signal off to pick it up on Signal Hill in St. John's, Newfoundland? It's a long ride. And so they tried and communicated with them in England at this time, send the signal. And they sent through a signal, and sure enough, Marconi, and they got the kite up with the aerial, and they heard for the first time this transatlantic wireless communication. And that happened. That was a Canadian event that we were a part of. And so, of course, everyone's excited. So, how do we send a message back? And I can't be sure about this next part, but he's like, send a message back. What message should we send? And so he says, it's a me, Marconi. Bippity-boppity. And it works, that last part may be made up, but the idea was how to communicate a message, how to bridge a message. And if I was to, say, as Jesus spoke in stories and these parables, the kingdom of God, the Christian life isn't always, it's not about that you're the original message. You are a reflection. You are a bounce agent for the true source, which is God himself. Your life is intended to be the bounce, the reflection, the imitation, the bits and pieces. Some goes off into space, but the parts that bounce off the ionosphere. See, we're not the whole deal, but we reflect God the Father. We reflect the kingdom. And it got me thinking about these types of verses where I am an imitator. I am a reflection of Christ. I'm not trying to, think and be my own original thing. I have an original source that I'm just intending to bounce from. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says these things. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You see, that original source, as it came from Poldhu in Cornwall in England, that's like God the Father. And my job is to be a reflection of that original thing. As someone who takes the name of Christ, I've got to become more Jesus shiny to reflect what's coming at me. People say, why do we push at the church, like reading your Bible? Why do we push, prayer? Why do we push community? Why do we push service, serving other people? Well, the greatest of all is the servant of all. I need all of these things to polish my Jesus reflection so that I am not the original source. It's not Vince's bright ideas. I convey God the Father ideas to you, and you convey them to others, and however it comes in, it's from the original source, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, God himself, and I reflect that. It's that we are that bounce from the ionosphere that Marconi was looking for. When I look at myself through the eyes of a reflector, I take that input and I just push back what I've received. Now, I have my own personal, good spots, bad spots, parts that I'm still working on, dirty parts of my mirror, fantastic parts of my mirror that give great reflection, like that pond with the ripples through it, or maybe it's like glass. And you just have to know for yourself that I'm taking the originator's idea, bouncing it from myself, and pushing it onwards. That's my lot as a Christian. When you start thinking about being an imitator, an imitation of something, it takes me through to my journey where we end up in Winnipeg at the Canadian Mint. Now, we have two spots in Canada where our currency is made, one in Ottawa, but circulation currency and coins, in particular, are all made at the Canadian Mint in Winnipeg. This is a shot of my son doing epic riding of a loon. Having the thought of reflection as a currency. You see, the steel comes in off these rolls and these sheets of steel. And when we entered the lobby of the mint, there's this big machine. And you put in a few loonies. And you know those kind of like coin rolling machines where you sometimes you'll see where they press out a penny and put a different thing on it? This started off as a blank piece of steel we put in a few loonies and we're expecting this gentle rolling device to pump us out a coin, but instead it was like, bam! And it shook the ground and the machine shook and it was this violent smack. And this machine in the lobby's whole purpose was to take these few dollars that kind of, you know, went through like a coin laundry mat and pump out from this blank steel a quarter. And so I know it's hard to imagine a government device that takes all this money and just turns it into a smaller amount of money, but it exists, and it's in Winnipeg in the form of this machine. As we're working it through, there's a master die inside this machine that is from hardened steel, and it strikes this thing with violent force and put an image on one side and the other master die on the other, puts the image on the other, and wham! It takes on a new image. You see, as we were going through the rest of the tour, those master dies are extremely important because that's what our coin currency is going to be based from. And so they have to be as hard, because those are going to impress upon these metals that it's intended to press. Now, what happened in 1986, we were familiar with our loonie, our $1 coin. Now, originally, that was intended to be a Voyager canoe. So it was going to be an indigenous guide with a settler in the back with, like, you know, Canadian mountainscape in the background while they, you know, went across in a lake and that kind of that picturesque Canadian thing. But in transport, one of the master dies got lost. And this is a true story. And so because they lost, however it got disappeared, this master die, well, they couldn't use it anymore. They couldn't use this iconography for the coin because they didn't want the counterfeit being out there, so they had to switch it out. And so in 1987, they put all the artwork together with the common loonie, which is what gives us our loonie now. Now, having something be the image that you are stamped with is very important. You, in so many ways, me, in so many ways, we bear the image of the Father. He came in that creative act, wham! That I'm made, that you're made, in the image of God. You are not your own. And as a believer, when you took on the stamp of the Holy Spirit on your heart and in your mind, you stop carrying just your image. Your image isn't you. You reflect, you carry the stamp of the image of God. We read this in Revelation 22 and 4, talking about the new Eden. And they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. I receive the Jesus stamp. And so I'm required to bear his image, so that when people see me, hopefully they're seeing not just a tarnished old Jesus, but somebody who's working at it. The image of God has been embedded on my heart, in my mind. And I carry that on in the same way as that quarter, that steel gets stamped. So you carry the image of Jesus. It's an old phrase, but it's a great phrase, that you might be the only Jesus that some people ever see. You say, well, what is that like? You know, carrying grace, carrying hope, carrying love. You are an image bearer like that coin. And the image that you bear belongs to that of our Father in heaven. Having the idea of iconography, an image impressed upon you, we take things like our dime. You've seen our dime. If you take one, you look on it, there is a ship on the back, the Blue Nose. And so I was fascinated because going across Canada, what's all this about? Well, in Nova Scotia, in Lunenburg, you can go and visit, and here's a picture of it. You can go and see the Blue Nose too. The original Blue Nose was made in 1921, and by, what's the date? By 1946, it had sunk off the coast of Haiti. Yeah, it was carrying a load of bananas and ran aground, and that was the end of that. But they made a facsimile. They made a representation of the original. It's such a Canadian icon that's impressed upon our money. Bam! And so you can go to Lunenburg, Nova Scotia, and see the Blue Nose. And the Blue Nose, too. It's not the original, but it's pretty close. And this is how it is for us, where I'm not a God, I'm not Jesus, I'm a piece, I'm a reflection of, it's a facsimile. There's parts where, you know, it's, you know, he needs some work on his keel, where it's not quite Jesus-like yet. But this is why I work to be transformed through reading of his word, prayer, service, generosity, giving, forgiving. These are Jesus' qualities that we are impressed with, that we are a facsimile, an imitator of. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says this, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ, imitating his grace, imitating his forgiveness, imitating his love, imitating his hope." Oh man, this is so exciting. This is last week. We had a prayer time at in the main service, the 10:30 service on the last Sunday morning, and a person in the congregation I know needed a healing prayer, and I'm just like, oh Lord, impressed upon me, just like, go pray for them. And so went in, prayed with them. They didn't even come up for prayer. I just went for it anyway. And they reported back, I didn't go to my doc. I went to my doctor's appointment. He says, you don't need to have this. What you came for surgery for today is not an issue anymore. And they testified, the person testified to the nurses, like, God healed me. I don't know all of in and how it works. I just know that you are created in the image of God. I am created in the image of God. We follow God's lead. We listen to his voice. You have been stamped by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you carry that ministry, you carry that effort, that passion, that drive, that love for people. That's impressed upon you, and it's impressed upon me. God's doing amazing things, and he wants you to be a part of that. The greatest of all is the servant of all. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. I have a friend who's working through a recovery situation, and they have an opportunity to go serve at the meeting where he's getting some some great foundations and some healing and some things going on in his life. And you should see him talk about when he has a chance to serve. And I get, you know, I meet people at the door, and I get to put up, you know, the posters and get to serve some coffee. And he can be talking about life and just, you know, kind of life, you know, can sometimes kick you around. But when he talks about how he's imitating Christ as a servant of all, his face literally lights up. It's outstanding. And he can't see it. And I brought it to his attention. I'm like, and you literally light up when you talk about this opportunity you have to serve. And serving is one of those imitating Christ, because he was a servant. The greatest of all will be the servant of all. And finally, as working our way through the provinces. So friends, I've seen them all. All the provinces. This is in Sparwood, BC. This is a little picture. And you're coming into BC, and wow. Of all the provinces, it is easily the best one. there was great parts of all. I love the Maritimes. I actually really enjoyed the prairies. But BC was like on this different level, and the mountains play a part. The mountains really do play a part. I could just imagine some of the first people crossing Canada as they worked their way through to and hit the Rockies. And the mountains are fantastic, and the mountains are dangerous. We love the top of a mountain. Oh, you get up the top of the mountain. It's like, hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Is anyone out there? And the voice replies, it's a me, Marconi, bibbidi bobbidi. And I have no idea how he made it out there, but the mountains are so vast and majestic, and they just draw you in. But the top of a mountain, for its amazement, if you don't follow the seasons of the mountain, a mountain is also a deadly place to be at the top of. Oh, it's fun when it's the summer and snow's melted and there's life. We saw moose and bear. It was fantastic when we were up in Sparwood, in this general area. But if you're out of season in a beautiful place, it's not good. In the same way, I wouldn't set up a house at the top of it because I know at different seasons, it's not safe. But I also wouldn't set up camp in a valley either. That'd be like, you know, building your home at the bottom of a floodplain. We saw this recently in our own, you know, our province, just a few cities over, and next thing you know, the valley is underwater. So this is the reality of the valley. So the mountaintop is a beautiful place and a dangerous place. The valley, I wouldn't necessarily set up shop there either. And in your own life, maybe you can relate to that. It's a little sidestep. Mountains, beautiful. Mountains, also scary. Up top, at the bottom, I don't know where places to set up camp for your life. If you're going through a challenging time, just keep moving. Because one thing, when you're coming up to the Rockies, do you know what's behind the first Rocky Mountain? Another one. And behind that, there's another one. And life is like that, where it's like, I'm at the mountaintop. Okay, you got to come down. In order to get to the next mountaintop, you're going to have to traverse through some valleys. But get up to that mountaintop. So don't set up camp in either one. Just keep it moving forward if you're going through that challenging time. For those who are wanting to press through, I came across this fantastic thing. We're in Sparwood, and out of nowhere is this enormous truck, this gigantic, gigantic truck. See, managing your expectations of what the mountain is and what the mountain does. Before I get into the truck, I want to, it's like the expectation of what you think mountain life is like in BC. It's just knowing to move with the seasons of your own life to where good can follow you and good can be with you and the Lord's intervention and all of that. And being in one spot, I'm going to build on the mountain, I'm going to build in the valley. You need to be mindful of the seasons to keep things safe. You have to manage those expectations. Expectations are huge in that. I was out to a date with my wife this week, and I wanted to take her to one of those like fancy places where they make the food right in front of you. It's she was thinking it was teppanyaki, but I was thinking more like Subway. It's fresh. It's beautiful. Fantastic thing. They cooked right there in front of you. Awesome. You got to manage your expectations in life or you'll be sad. Getting back to the big truck. The world's largest tandem axle truck is in Sparwood, BC. It has one job, to move massive amounts of earth from one spot to another. That's its job. It gets satisfaction from its job. It's not a digger. It's not some sort of excavation thing. It's a earth mover. That's its job. What is yours? What is yours? Now, there's different ways to come at. The greatest of all is the servant of all. But I know that a heart touched by Christ feels compelled to give back. What's your job? What's your role? Not everybody's meant to be an earth mover. Some are architects. Some are scoop in. Some move. Some survey. Some dig. What's your job? What's your job? It's a powerful thing knowing. You see, these verses here, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. This is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy talking to the church of Thessalonica. And they say, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." You became an imitator of us and God. People are funny with, like, be careful who you follow. Absolutely be careful who you follow. We just don't put anyone up here just to share messages. We want to make sure things are sound and biblical. But in the same way as I'm a reflection, I'm not perfect, but it's okay to go, that seems a lot like Jesus, this part. This seems a lot like Jesus, that part. It's not to, elevate any one person. I would say the same thing of you in this area. Oh, they're so Christ-like. But this is why we get around other believers, people who share faith, Christ followers. This is why we read our Bibles, so that I can go, when I come across a real-world situation, yeah, that sounds like something that Jesus would say. Or that sounds like something, or it seems like something that Jesus would do. Or that seems like a way to serve that Jesus would do. So these opportunities to in and gather and know your role. See, Paul, Silas, and Timothy's role was to educate, to encourage, to come alongside the churches to see them built up. And he said, you guys are going to go through a time of persecution. Don't lose your minds. Don't. It's going to be okay. So sure enough, they planted the seed in Thessalonica, and the church sprung up. And so he was encouraging them, you followed us. And the Lord, reflecting, and things worked out fantastically. He goes on in other parts to basically encourage him, like, you guys did great. Continue on loving each other, but you made it through this tragic time by following the reflection of the Lord. There's some times where you can't, like, it's tricky in some scenarios to see, like, God, where are you moving? Can you see someone else in your life that is reflecting God that might assist you in your journey? You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. You have a job. You have a part to play in the kingdom. The greatest of all is the servant of all. Be an imitator of Christ. Now, for you folks online, I'm going to throw you out a phone number that you're welcome to jot down. I would love, text me. I'm at 604-441-8467. You could text me this morning. I'll be speaking live at the church. But I'd love to hear from you on a way that you feel you are an imitator of Christ through service. I know some of you that be night shift or whatever it is that you might be doing with life, you're leading out at the variety telethon, or you're doing whatever you're doing with life that is a way that you are reflecting Jesus to others. I would love to hear from you. And so feel free to text me and I'll make sure to get back to you on that. Knowing that you are imitating Jesus through love, through faith, through hope, through service, it will change the way you look at things. I want to take a moment. I just want to pray with you, send you off with love and hope. Things are going to be okay. Be an imitator. Be an imitator. You are the reflected message off the ionosphere for people. You are been stamped with the Holy Spirit. And you have a function. There's a reason for you being here. Let's find it. Let's work that out. Lord, I thank you for all my friends. Lord, you know exactly where each one is on their phones, tablets, computers, TVs, with watching service this morning or early on in the week. Lord, we just ask for each of them. Lord, open their eyes up to the way that you're using them now or new future ways that you may want to use them in giving back to your people. Lord, we trust you for good fruit in this area. Lord, it for each of our sakes, as we become transformed to be an imitator of you, Lord Jesus, work on our hearts and help us reflect you in this area of service. We believe for good things in this because we ask in your powerful name. Give each one hope, Lord, that there's great days around the corner as they put you first. Lord, speak love to each life as they work through the situations. Lord, and we're believing for great conclusion to all of these stories because we ask in the powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Have an amazing week.